Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the As a Kid Radio Show. This is your host, August Crenshaw. Happy to be back. Always happy to have the new topic of discussion for this week. Lord have mercy. What is it going to be today? Well, for those of you that follow me on Facebook, you will know that today we are going to talk about money. But not money in the way that the church usually talks about it. We're not going to talk about giving and financial prosperity. Matter of fact, let me narrow the topic down a little bit more. Today, we're going to talk about credit. Yeah, you know, FICO scores, stuff like that. Credit. A conversation that we don't have in the kingdom. At least I've never been in a church and heard a sermon about credit. I've heard plenty of sermons about tithing, giving, but never about credit. And, you know, it just struck me earlier this week, why do so many Christians have bad credit? So I said, you know what, we need to delve into that. And let me just, you know, on a regular basis, I usually have a story or an experience to share, and that kind of is my segue into my topics. Well, two things happened this week that let me know that I definitely need to talk about this thing. So, you know, I got a daughter now, a college student, and I'm constantly on her. I've been on her for a while now, you know, with her money, when she makes it, how she saves it, how she delegates it, you know, does she spend it on, you know, junk or put it in her savings or checking, et cetera, et cetera. Well, before she went to college, we finally took that next step and said, okay, look, this is the credit card you can get, and this is why, and I'm going to tell you how to use it, and you can't use this thing without my permission. Yeah, I need to tell you how to use it. When we get to a place where you're comfortable, you truly understand it, then you can spread your wings, you know, and go from there. And so now she's got her job and she's making money. And in addition to that, it's like, okay, we've got to get into money management even the more and what it's going to look like, because eventually you'll get your own apartment and your own place and you want your credit to be right. So over the years, I've talked to her about money and finances, but now we're getting deeper into it. And so when I was talking to her, you know, I told her, you know, you're getting older, so you know how it is with young people. Not that she's done anything that heinous, but still, like, that's untypical. But, you know, young people, as they get older, they're finding a new part of their identity. And I told her, look, if your mom seems like she's all up in your business, it is because she's all up in your business. But what I need you to understand, it's not because I'm trying to control you. There are things that I know about life and money that you don't know, and it is my job, as long as you will allow me to keep you from getting and falling into the pitfalls that I fell into, so that when you leave my household, you are a stellar woman with A1 credit. So just listen to your mom, and, you know, we'll work through that. So then I ended up having a conversation with another woman. And we were talking about credit, and she's like, oh, I can't wait till, you know, my son turns, you know, 16. I'm going to get him a credit card, and because when he leaves me, he going to have a credit score that's going to be, you know, in the 700s. And then a young man put an article on Facebook about why so many Christian artists are broke or and all of these different things. And I said, you know what, God? Yeah, I definitely believe that I have chosen the appropriate topic for today. It is imperative that we talk about credit, because we don't talk about credit. You know what we do as Christians? We always talk about the favor of the Lord. We always talk about taking everything to the Lord in prayer. You know what? But everything that happens or comes to pass, and when you get quote-unquote blessed with something, it's not at the hand of God. And you may think it, and you may look at it, and you want to feel it. But let me tell you something. I know a couple got a couple cars, too. Yeah, they got a couple cars, but they don't have a couple of items literally in their refrigerator. So you're not going to sit here and tell me that God was the God of provision when he will allow you to drive nice cars, but you don't have any food to eat, because that's contradictory to his word, because he told you you never had to worry about what you were going to eat. So basically, this couple has cursed their own household because they live above their means. So like I was just saying, you know, let's talk about why Christians have bad credit. And I'm going to say the first reason why we have bad credit is because we don't talk about it. Christians either shun talking about money in the church, period, or when we do talk about it, it's only in associating with tithing and your free will offering, or being a ministry helper and giving, or on the other hand, the benevolence fund, when you're helping out somebody and giving them something. But, I mean, if God is a God who promised us that we will live life and we will live it more abundantly, then having credit shouldn't be a problem. I'm going to tell you why I believe having credit is a problem. It's because we don't know any better. We don't know any better. We don't know what to do. And then from here, I'm going to give some more examples as to why we don't know any better. And listen, I'm not the guru. I'm not saying that I have all the answers. If I said something that strikes the nerves, people, hit that button one, challenge me. If you think I'm on the right path, but I've left out an example, bring it up. I mean, let's talk about this. Let's stop dancing around something that's really important, and let's talk about how we, you know, move better in the kingdom. So like I said, this started with my daughter. And there's one scripture I do want to read. You guys know how I am. Sometimes it's a plethora of scriptures. Sometimes it's a handful. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's this point when God is going over his statutes about how you're supposed to love him with all your heart and your soul and your mind, blah, 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 blah. And later on in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you look at verse 7, it says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them down upon the posts of the house and on the gates, and it shall be with the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities at which thou buildest not." So here it is. Now, this scripture is talking about the people of God, the relationship with God, and understanding his statutes and walking in his will. Now, before somebody thinks I'm going on too strong of a tangent by pulling that scripture out, when you look at God's will for our life is when you read the New Testament and what he has ordained for us to have, that thing is still true. And at the end of the day, think about it. If you go and take the time to read a lot of the parables that Jesus put out there when he was teaching, a lot of the parables that he gave were in relationship to money. It was the parable about the talent. It was the parable about the man who got fired by his boss, who was ripping him off and then cheating other people. A lot of times, to get the point across, Jesus used parables using money. And at the end of the day, you can always get a spiritual in-depth backdrop to what Jesus has spoken, but you can also get a very literal, practical backdrop to it. So when I'm bringing up this scripture, I'm bringing it up for a reason. Because look at the level of in-depthness it was required in order to understand the offspring, the children of the Israelites understood their God. You were supposed to be with them when they were sitting, when they was walking, when they were lying down. It was supposed to be in the front of their eyes. It was supposed to be on the post of their house. The point of the scripture is involvement. The point of the scripture is to say, look, you cannot just tell kids, hey, you know you're supposed to know who God is. You know you're supposed to love him. You know you're supposed to, read the word, pray this. No, you have to be actively involved. And that's the same thing with credit. This is all going to come together. Just work with me. This has the same meaning for credit. in order for Christians to understand what to do and how to operate as far as credit is concerned, that means that there has to be ongoing involvement. I cannot teach my almost 20-year-old daughter how to have good credit by telling her, make sure you don't get no overdraft fees, okay? Hey, don't live above your means, okay? Make sure you don't max out no credit cards, okay? No, that is not what helps her. What is helping her is by her mother saying, okay, let me see your bank statement. That's how much you have in the bank? Really? What's in your savings account? It looks like it's going down instead of going up. What happened that was so important you need to have full money for? Conversations, being all up in the mix. It didn't help her to just say, you know what, like my girlfriend. She said that in order to help her son have credit, what she wanted to do was when he turned 16, she was going to get a credit card in his name, and then she would just use it as a gas card and pay it off every single month. How is that teaching your child good credit? He don't know what in the world is going on, and actually what you're doing is setting yourself up for the enemy to have a vice to use against you. Because if something ever happens, you'll be like, well, you know what? God did open up a door. We financially kind of strapped right now. Let me use this for this. And then you may find yourself needing to pick from the credit card, and then before you know it, you can't pay the credit card, and then before you know it, you have a situation where you're ruining your child's credit instead of building it up. Come on, because I know I come from a generation where almost all of us had bad credit because mama used our name for the gas or the electric bill. And it didn't get paid. And the reason why she had to use our name was because the one in her name didn't get paid. And the reason why she had to use our name was because the other sibling before that bill didn't get paid. Using your kid's name to get some stuff does not help ensure that they have credit. But sitting down and talking to your child and saying, okay, this is your credit card. This is not money that you really have. This is what the purpose of it is for. This is when you use it. That's how you help them. I know grown people who still don't understand the difference between a bill cycle date versus a bill due date. So if I know grown people that don't know it, that means I have to sit down and tell my daughter, look, they're not going to tell you to pay until this time, but they're billing you from this day to this day. So when you're using your credit card, this is when you use it. This is when you don't. This is when the charges are going to get hit. This is when it's due. And guess what, people? I'm not teaching my daughter to pay her credit card on the due date. I'm teaching her to be in a position to pay it when the bill comes. And then if something happens and she can't pay it when the bill comes, then she knows that she has until the due date to pay it. But come on, people. Why do Christians have bad credit? Because you know what we do? The bill comes, we look at the due date, and some of us look at the delinquent date, and that dictates when we pay the bill. And then when something comes up, we don't have it on the due date or the delinquent date, and then we set no payment arrangements just to keep ourselves from sitting in the dark. Why are we like this? Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you why I am the way I am with money now, because life kicked me in the butt. I have a wonderful, wonderful woman who raised me. I love her to death. I am not discrediting her at all. But you see, I'm talking about educating folks when it comes to credit. She couldn't educate me on what she didn't know. So when I got out and I got my first place, I will always remember, I got my Southwestern Bell phone bill. It was like, oh, well, it ain't due until this day. I don't remember the exact day, but let's just say it was due on the 16th of the month. That was like a Monday. Well, on the 17th, I was like, I'll go ahead and go run around to this pay station. What's the day late going to be? Because I heard people all the time say, girl, it don't matter about the due date. Just pay it before the delinquent date. Got up the next day, my phone was off on the 17th. I'm like, huh? I'm calling, man. It must be something wrong with the phone line. Everything other than the fact that I didn't pay the bill. And they're like, ma'am, you didn't pay. I'm like, yeah, but it's only one day later. You are a new account, and you cannot be late, blah, 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 blah. So I had to call my granny, and I was like, look, can I please get the money from you so I can get my phone back on? I'll give you the money back by Friday. Now, I did honestly do everything I said I was going to do, but that was embarrassing to me. And everybody's different about money, but I vowed that would never be me again. And so I had a different swag as far as it came to paying bills. But the thing about it is look at how natural, even though I am naturally, I don't think that frugal is the word, but I don't just randomly spend money. I do usually keep a tight budget. I know where things are going. I keep account for money that's coming in and going out of the house. But even though that's my natural bent, because that's how I am, look at how when I first started off on my own, the very first thing that I did was something that was basically irresponsible because I didn't know any better. Nobody sat down and said, okay, you know, yeah, I signed the lease. I was 19 years old. I mean, I didn't really understand what it meant that if I didn't pay on the first, that I only had till the fifth, and then I was going to get this whopping late fee. You know, those words really didn't mean anything to me. I was just excited for the fact that I had my own place. So everything else was just going to work itself out. And guess what? That happened when I was 19. But come on now, you all know saints that walk around like that now. So part of the reason, basically what I'm saying is, we're in the position that we're in credit-wise because we were not educated. And because somebody thought that they would circumvent the system on how they're going to teach us to have good credit, or they've already used our name and we destroyed it. Okay, well, but still, even with myself, even with me having a better idea about paying my bills on time, then came what about when the credit cards came? Yes, people, I would put my business out there. I was young, and I did get a lot of credit cards, and I have had to file a Chapter 7 in order to get rid of credit card debt. But that also was like, oh, my God, this is weird. This is embarrassing. So with my rest of when I had it, I still ended up falling back into a situation where I had bad credit again. It's like, really? What is going on? But I said, you know what? Hold up. God has put me in a place where I'm doing hair, and I make a whole lot of money. I mean, we're talking about back in 2000, you know, getting in four digits every week, you know. So it was like, okay, you know what? Let me look at what I'm doing. I was able to pay a car off early. I started realizing that my money came in different ways at different times of the year, when were my peak seasons versus my slower seasons. And I started paying my bills so that when by the time the slower seasons came up, I basically had a cushion. And I literally used to get bills from McLean Gas and Ameren UE, that's, you know, the ones for St. Louis, Missouri, that would say credit balance, do not pay. Because what I was learning was financial stewardship. But my financial stewardship came because of my trials and my tribulation. It came from my experiences. So what I, like I said, what I'm doing with my daughter is I want to circumvent all of those things so that she doesn't have to have all of those same experiences. So that's with her, and that's with some of the things that happen with us. But what are some of the other issues that come with Christians having bad credit? How about the fact that when we get a little bit grown, we are too grown to listen? Ministry-wise, myself and my husband, we have helped a plethora of people financially. Even if whether it was as little as $20, or you can put a couple zeros behind it, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. The point is, we've helped people. But one of the things that we definitely realized is that we needed to help people's minds. Now, if there was an immediate need, yeah, we help people, but we would find that we would say, hey, to individuals, why don't you sit down and let us talk with you? It's not that we're trying to be nosy, it's not that we're trying to be all in your business, but you obviously need some help in some areas. And we'd love to give you some advice so that you can get yourself in a better place financially, so that you won't have to be in this place anymore, you know. And it may be something, I don't know what your situation looks like. This is something that maybe could be resolved in as short as 3 months. It may be something that you may have to have a year plan or something like that. But you want to know something? We had one or two things happen with us. People would sit down and meet with us a couple of times, or they never came and met with us at all. You see, the Bible says with all your getting, get an understanding. Nobody wanted to get an understanding, but everybody just wanted to get that handout. You know, it might have been embarrassing to reveal their private information, but I ain't trying to be funny. Ain't you been embarrassed enough because you've already had to ask for somebody to put food on your table? So, I mean, how much more embarrassing could it be? Put yourself out there. You know, listen, I'm not sitting here talking because I'm a financial guru, but I do have a little bit of knowledge up under my belt. And I've done the things that it requires to go from having barely a 500 credit score to almost an 800 credit score. So I think because of those experiences, I think I got a little validity up under my belt. So I've paid off, you know, and when I say I mean me and my husband, because we work as a unit, we've paid off cars early. You know, we've made the sacrifices. We didn't even have to sacrifice. It was just like one of those things, you know what, we want to minimize our debt. Where everybody else was getting income tax checks every year and buying new flat screens, we were like, what can we pay off? We've already been paying extra on this car all year long. Now the balance is this low. Instead of going through a whole nother process for another year, let's go ahead and just knock this out. Let's just get it out the way. That's what we did. You know, it was like, okay, look, people, find someone to sit down with and to talk to. Pull your credit report. Know what's on your credit report. Yes, I have went back and forth, toe-to-toe with the credit bureau, writing the certified letter, sending them back to them, saying, take this off my credit. You can't validate this. This has been on there too long. This needs to change. Me and my husband both. And people got these companies out here advertising that they'll fix your credit. You can fix your credit. All it's going to take you is 5 minutes a night every week or so, sending out a different letter and waiting on getting a response and going back and forth until it's done. In 3 to 6 months, you can have the majority of your stuff on your credit repaired. Some of the things, I'm not going to lie, literally took us anywhere from 9 months to a year and a half, but eventually it happened. It is a tedious process, but it is your credit and it is your responsibility. Look, at the end of the day, like credit or not, credit is what makes this world go round. The United States is in debt itself as a whole. Why? Because they operate off of a system of credit. The people in this country and all everywhere, the world operates off credit. It's just that the credit has changed, whether it's been for a piece of cotton versus whether or not it's for $500. But credit is the system that we have to use in order to be able to make it. So if you don't understand credit, you need to sit down and talk to someone who does. Like I talked to, once again, I'll bring it back to my daughter. She got a credit card. It's just like, ooh, look at my credit score. My baby got a 5 credit score. But it's like, okay, you do have a good credit score, but here are the reasons why someone may still reject you or turn you down. It's about helping her understand about the importance about when you get a job, keeping a job and staying committed, because that plays a part on your credit. Credit, listen, is a financial profile, people. And a financial profile is more than what you bring in and what you put out. It's about you and your commitment. How long can you stay in one place or on one job, live in one place and have stability in your home? Everything about you, when they look at your credit, they see how many addresses you have. They see how many you have a job section. They see how many lines of credit you have. Whether it, like I told my daughter, 50%, try your best. Worst case scenario, don't use up more than 50% of your credit on your credit card. You really shouldn't have to. But the more, you know, just because you have credit and you go to the max, you know, of course I've told her never to go over it, but going up as close to the max of the credit card is something that's very damaging to you. There are rules and tricks to the trade. Not only that, you don't want the same kind of credit all the time. You don't look good because you have 5 credit cards. You might, but you will look good if you have maybe 2 credit cards, a car or 2, and a house. It's about your profile. Some people will tell you there's no rhyme or reason to credit. They don't understand where your scores come from. There is a rhyme or reason. Now, I can't give you an exact antidote, but there are some do's and don'ts, and there are some definite do's that can make all the difference in the world of what your credit looks like. If you can't sit down and talk to me, you go sit down and you talk to somebody else. Because at the end of the day, what your credit profile says, this is how I steward my money. And the last time I checked in the Word of God, stewardship is important to the Heavenly Father. He wants to see that you take care of your money and that you handle your money accordingly. When they had the situation when people were talking about, well, who do you pay the money to, you know, what do you think about taxes, you know, because they were trying to ask Jesus all kind of questions. And Jesus told them, take a coin out. Jesus, when they took the coin out, he said, whose face is on the coin? And on the coin, it was the picture of Caesar. He said, well, give to Caesar what is due to Caesar. Understand? When it was time for him to pay the contribution to the church, he told one of the disciples, go get the coin out the fish. And then he put it in the basket. Jesus was about financial responsibility. Jesus was about paying those people that are due to get paid. So if you're the kind of person that just says, oh, well, I get to it when I get to it, maybe I do it, maybe I won't, you're not operating right in the kingdom. I challenge people. I do not believe that Christians are supposed to have bad credit. I absolutely do not. So you need to stop doing what you're doing and then having the audacity to say that God is the one that's blessing it or he's going to cover it up. Unfortunately, had the experience of being with a couple before. I was with a couple because I was trying to help them with some personal issues. And I met with the wife on a regular basis. And while this individual and I were hanging out, unfortunately, I witnessed the repossession of their vehicle. And when their vehicle got repossessed, you know, in between them trying to get to the bank, dodge the repo man, all of this stuff, I was trying to talk to them. Okay, what do you have? What's in the bank? What do you owe? Blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. You know, we're here. Call these people. Talk to these people. When's the last time you paid? How long have you had it? We were going through all these different things, and I'm like, yeah, it looks like you all pretty much just stuck. You don't have to surrender the car. And they knew that the guy was able to get an advance from his job. They had the money that was coming in from their check, and they were just like, well, we just got to hurry and get a car because we got to get to work, and I got to get to work. We got to get kids to daycare. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I said, okay, I hear everything you guys are saying, but before you go get a car, talk to me. I got my whole weekend free. I'll go with you guys because you want to make sure that you make the best decision. This is not going to look good. You already going to have high percentage rates because you haven't been paying the car. No, you got a repossession, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the whole time that I was with them, they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I got the husband and the wife's phone number, so on and so forth. For two whole days, the whole weekend, there was no contact. All of a sudden, oh, God, it opened up a door. We got a car, blah, 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 blah. And they described it, and they happy. And I sat up there and was resistant to saying what the Lord said to me up until like about 10 o'clock at night. And I finally texted them both, and I said, look, I am sorry, but you all have a certain period of time based on that contract. You need to take that car back now. That is not what God has for you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sunday after Sunday, saw them at church. They were still driving the car and giving their testimony about how God blessed them. It didn't even take 3 months before they were sitting down having a conversation saying to someone that I happen to hear, yeah, we had a friend of ours tell us that we should have took that car back, and this happened and that happened, and now they didn't have that car. So then they ended up getting another car. After about maybe 9 months, they got blessed with another car. This is what they're saying. They're saying they got blessed, the B word, got blessed with another car. Well, unfortunately, because I know the inner workings of their home, they are the example that I said at the beginning of the show. They don't hardly have any food in their house, and they have children. I mean, they literally are scraping and you know, barely have enough money to buy enough Pampers. They're changing their daughter's Pamper based off of how many they have. Oh, well, we only got 3 Pampers left, and this got to get us through 3 days, so really the baby going to have to work with a Pamper a day type rationing out. And I'm not exaggerating, people. I'm not exaggerating at all. This is what the situation was like. You want to put God's name on that? How dare you? God has nothing to do with that because God said he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. Your blessings are supposed to be so high that you are covered and your seed. Your seed wouldn't, your God wouldn't have your baby about to get no diaper rash. are sitting there breaking out and walking around in those soiled pamper just so you could drive two vehicles, because two vehicles is not a need, it's a want. So something's going on in the kingdom where our priorities are not right. Look, we know God can take care of us, but it's just like with the Israelites. Remember when they wanted a king? They wanted a king so bad, and God kept saying, you don't need a king. Yes, we do. No, you don't. Yes, we do. No, you don't. Yes, we do. Hey, if you get one, he's going to be me. We don't care. We want one. Hey, if you get one, he's going to abuse you, and it's going to be hard. We don't care. You don't need a king. Yes, we do. You don't need a king. Yes, we do. You know what? Fine. Here's your king. And they hated it. So just because something happens in your life, we cannot always say we're going to give God credit for things manifesting, because we have to understand what his will is. And if his will is going to have us somewhere, if the circumstance, excuse me, is going to have us somewhere where we always robbing Peter to pay Paul, then you can't sit there and tell me that that was God's will for your life. God's will for our life is for us to live in abundance and to have more than what we need. Bad credit exists in the kingdom because Christians are not educated. And we're not educated because we don't want to be. There's somebody out there that wants to help you. I don't really know that much about the whole financial peace series, so I'm not saying that I'm saying it, that what I'm getting ready to say is the answer. I've heard some good things about it. I think the name of the guy is Dr. Ramsey or something like that. I could be wrong. I didn't do financial peace, but I still know that there's a Christian spin on people that do financial literacy. There are all kind of agencies out there. We have to learn to take ownership for our situations, people. We cannot sit around and act like this is our fate. Think about it. That's how life was. How many of us were walking down that long, dark road and going the wrong direction? But then you got hit by the Spirit of God and you realized that, you know what, I need something better. And that something better happened to be called Jesus. And so you realized that you didn't want to smoke weed anymore, be having sex with that man anymore. You didn't want to be out, you know, twerking in the club all the time anymore. You hit a point where you wanted to change. Well, the same thing happens for finances. We don't just sit and pray and hope that something changes. We have to be more actively involved in the change. And it means that you have to be humble. Look, especially for my adults out there, you may be living a much better life than your parents, but don't you want your kids to live an even better life than you? Which means that, you know what, you may need to be a little transparent. You know, my daughter's gotten older. She always kind of had an idea of what we were doing, and she's seen me pay bills and stuff like that. But now she's seen my spreadsheet for my budget on Excel. She's seen what it looks like when I say, okay, so here's the rent, here's the electric, the cable bill, the cell phone bills, et cetera. You know, here's what was allotted for groceries, for household expenses, legal fees, if that was an issue, or, you know, just every random thing that could be up there. You know, even the $7.99 is for Hulu or for Netflix, to see that it takes X amount of dollars for our household to function. And then to see that, you know, this is what's needed, but this is what we have coming in. So these are the kind of decisions that have to be made in order to make sure that everything is a smooth ship. That means that I have to be vulnerable in front of my child, because what if like now, with us being in a transitory state, you know, while we're getting on our feet, because, you know, for those of you that follow, you know about us moving. So now we're in a completely different area, incomes are different, you know, so how do we operate in this circumstance in order to make sure that we are not in the same place that we were with where we came from, but an even better place? And to show her how, okay, so you got to set priorities. You know, I remember sitting down having a conversation with her. Okay, so this, and this will do. This is what's available. So in your mind, what gets paid first? Just so I can hear how her brain thinks. And then if she's right to say, yay, bravo, and if she's wrong to say, really? Why did you even think that? like I said before, it's not enough just to say pay your bills on time. No, instinctively, at the end of the day, she's still a child. She's my child. So some of the answers that she made, that she gave, weren't necessarily the best ones. And it's like, no, not that. Do this. Do that. And do that. And do that. And do that. Yeah. Taking the time out. So that meant that if there are any imperfections in what I'm doing, that I had to allow her to see that. But a lot of us don't want to do that. Because you know what? Then your child going to have to see where them stilettos came from. They ain't stupid. They know you bought them anyway. But you was on the phone asking somebody if they can give you $100, $200 so your lights don't get cut off. Stop it, people. Maybe if you're more vulnerable and let your children see where you are for real, then and tell them how stressful it is, you can say, baby, you want your life to be better than mama, better than daddy's. And then they can actually have something to learn from for that. So, you know, look, bad credit is not an option in the kingdom, point blank. We have choices. If your credit's bad, if you don't know how to fix it, get with somebody who does. We got to start setting better examples in the kingdom, because at the end of the day, we do still operate, as Jesus said, give what's due to Caesar, Caesar's stuff. We still operate in Caesar's kingdom, and he's not going to override the system. Yeah, the government is upon his shoulder. Yeah, the king's heart is in his hand, but he ain't going to be sitting here saying, you know what, I'm going to keep on turning the king's heart, and he ain't going to just change the government so that everything gets absolved. Look, there are certain prophecies in the Bible that there's some havoc that's coming, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do to stop it from occurring. So don't think that just because you know God and he's mighty and he can do, there's certain things, baby, he ain't going to undo, because it's in his word. The question is, as men and women of God, what position will we be in so that we will be able to handle whatever comes our way, spiritual, mental, emotional, yes, people, and even financially. Having bad credit is not synonymous with being a Christian. So I don't know how you guys feel about the same things I said through a lot of different kind of, you know, stories and excerpts from here and there. Feedback, please. Question, comment. I haven't had any while I've been going, but I would like to hear. You know, do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you think that I'm being too hard? I'm not hard enough. You know, push one. Give me some feedback. I would love to hear it. You know, for those of you that don't want to be on the air, I understand that. Like I always say, email me. You know, include me on the chats and stuff like that, like the one young man did on Facebook. Find me on Facebook or email me, you know, the topics. We can continue to discuss them, and you can see what kind of spin the Lord has given me on it. Once again, it's augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com, augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. August Crenshaw on Facebook. Remember to request friendship with the one with the picture, you know, and we'll just keep going forward. So, you know, I always thank you guys for tuning in. Let's get out there and get more control of our lives, get more control of our finances. I see we don't have any questions or comments, but let's delve in. Let's ensure that our children are in an even better position than we were, and let's be humble people in the kingdom to get the help that we need in order to take our lives to the next level. Always thank you for tuning in. I can't wait to see you or rather speak to you again next week on Monday, always at 9 a.m. Just one other piece of information. Just remember, it's getting closer to that time. I know that I made an announcement several months ago about me expecting and me doing everything that I could to make sure that the show will still be available every Monday. But I am at that point, people. I am 35 weeks. Yay. For those of you that are like, what? I didn't even find out until I was almost six. So that's a whole nother story and a testimony in itself. When God wanted to come, it's here. But I'm very close to my due date. So just know that if for any reason, for reasons beyond my control, if for some reason you reach out to be on the air and you're looking for me and I'm not there, it would only be because maybe I'm actually in labor. Smiley face. But the plan is to possibly have pre-recorded shows. I've also put it out there. If you would like to have an old show replayed, I'm willing to look at the emails and see if there's a vote or a specific topic that people would like to rehear, just to make sure that we can stay plugged in and stay connected with each other. So don't forget to do that as well. Keep me up to date with what you'd like to hear for a potentially pre-recorded show or for a replay of a show that you happen to really like, but you'd like to, like to hear again. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Talk to you next week.